Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20. And each Sunday we like to give you a message handout so that you can take the message home with you. And if we missed you on the way in, we'd love to give you one now. Our ushers would be glad to bring you a handout. Just lift your hand up high and they'll be glad to run you one right now. I want to give you the second part here of a message entitled Living Your Life for Maximum Impact. We've been going through the life of the Apostle Paul. And you remember last week I gave the analogy that our life is not like a DVR. You can't rewind. You can't go back. You cannot rewind to a month ago. You can't rewind to your teenage years. You can't rewind to last month. You can't rewind to an hour ago. You cannot rewind back to, if you were in life group, to life group hour. You can't rewind. How many of you remember the old VHS tapes? Remember the big old VHS tapes? I still got some. Do any of you all still have them? And man, I still got those things in drawers and don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I got them. And I got those. And you know, back I remember when you used to rent those, that they would have a little sticker on there, be kind, rewind, it would say, you know, so you rewind it so the next person doesn't have to rewind the 2 hours or whatever's on there. And I thought, you know, you can't rewind your life. You can't go back. You simply cannot. There's no way. Your life's not like a DVR. Life's not like a VHS. You cannot rewind and go back. Once a day is gone, it's gone. There is no way to go back and get that day back. There is no way. And because of that truth, because of that simple truth, it is very, very important that we live our life in a way that we're having maximum spiritual impact, because you only get so many days and then the days are up and we die. So you only get so many days. And in your handout, I'm going to give you a little review here from last week, a couple of blanks are review, but y'all remember what that first blank was? We only get what? One life to live on the earth. And so we want to make it count. We want to make it count. Now, if you look at the map up here, we've been following the Apostle Paul, kind of riding shotgun with him on his missionary trips. We started all the way back when he got saved. We've been going through. We're in Acts 20. And you remember last week, man, Paul was all over Macedonia and Greece and Macedonia. And then he came back to Asia. And you remember he ended up in this city right here of Miletus. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus right here, where he had spent 3 years of his life establishing a church and getting people saved. He'd had a great impact on those people, and he wanted to talk to them, but he didn't want to take the time to stop here in Ephesus. So he traveled on past Ephesus, and he came over here to Miletus, and he sent word that he wanted the leadership, the elders there at Ephesus, to come down and meet him in Miletus, and he wanted to be able to have one final talk with them. He wanted to be able to talk to them one last time. He knew that it would probably be the last time that he would ever get to talk to these men that he loved so much and that he had greatly impacted for Jesus Christ. If you would, look in your Bible with me at Acts 20, and let's read about it, verse 17. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them." And now the rest of the chapter, he's going to be talking to these Ephesian elders. Can you imagine? They get to Miletus, they get into a room, they all sit down. I don't know how many there were, Pastor Rich. I'm thinking there was probably more than five, probably not more than 15, somewhere between 5 and 15 men. And they sit down in a room and they sit there and the Apostle Paul is their teacher. I mean, can you imagine being in Paul's life group? I mean, that's what it was like. I mean, it's a small group and Paul's the teacher. And so they all sit there and they're all wide-eyed and they're waiting to hear what Paul will say to them the very last time that he would ever speak to these men that he loved so much. Imagine sitting there listening to the Apostle Paul. And as he talks to these men, even though we can't rewind and we can't go back and live last month or yesterday, one of the things that we can do is we can look back at the past, and we can remember. And one of the things that Paul does is he gathers them together there in that room. He sits them down in front of him. And he says, guys, I want you to remember. I want you to think back to when I lived among you for 3 years. And I want to remind you of the way I lived my life and the way I conducted my ministry among you. And he wanted to encourage them that they would carry on that work that Paul had started in their heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he basically goes back and he reviews his life. And he reviews how that he was able to make a great spiritual impact, maximum impact on these guys' life. There's so much to learn, so many principles to learn here as we look at how our lives can have maximum spiritual impact like Paul's. The first principle we looked at last week's right there in your handout. I want you to get this. Number one was this, and that is this. You want to have impact? Serve the Lord with humility. Serve the Lord with humility. Look at verse 19. Notice it says, well, let's go up to verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. And then verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Serving the Lord with humility. In your handout it says, do you want to impact lives? Here's the biblical secret. You impact others by serving others. You remember when I talked about how Jesus Christ gathered the disciples in the upper room and the Bible says He prepared the bread, He prepared the cup. He didn't delegate that. He didn't give orders. He wasn't barking orders. He prepared the bread, prepared the cup, sliced it up, got it all ready, distributed it to the disciples, and He served Judas Iscariot, and He served Peter, and He served John and the rest of the 12. And the Lord humbled Himself and served, and it was that same humility of mind that led Jesus Christ to the cross to die for our sins. Church, did Christ ever sin? Yes or no? No. When He went to the cross, whose sins was He dying for? Our sins. Why in the world would somebody give their life for somebody else's sins? It was humility of mind, Philippians 2 says, that led Him to the cross. Humility of mind caused Him to serve others. In your handout it says, serving the Lord is essentially serving others. That's what serving the Lord is. It's serving others. But that takes a mindset of humility. Man, if I'm going to serve somebody else, that takes a mindset of humility. But there's another principle Paul gives them, and I want to focus on that this morning. Number two, here's what it is. Number two, if you want your life to have maximum spiritual impact, not only do you serve the Lord with humility, but number two, show what you know about the Lord. Show what you know about the Lord. Say that with me. Show what you know about the Lord. Look at verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, you know, sometimes it's good to just sit back and say, why am I doing this? Sometimes it's good to just sit back and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, why do I go to church? Why do I get up in the morning on Sunday when I could go to the beach or I could lay in bed, I could watch TV, I could work out in the yard? Why do I get ready, get dressed, go to church and sit under the teaching of the Bible? Why do I go to life group? Why do I go to a Bible Institute class? Why do I go back Sunday night? Why do I go Wednesday night? Why do I try each day to break open the Bible on my own and read it? Why do I do these things? Why do I pray, as the choir sung about today? There really is a purpose. There really is a reason behind everything we're doing. And sometimes it's good to just kind of get the bird's eye view, the big picture, and say, man, why am I doing all this? Why do I go up to the church and serve? And why do I go out and hand out door knockers on doors and invite people? Why do I work Walk Through Bethlehem? Why do I go to church? Why do I do these things? There's really a twofold purpose, and it's in your handout. Number one, the first reason that you're wanting to grow in your relationship is, number one, you grow in your knowledge of Christ so that you can personally grow and change. The reason why we go to church and learn the Bible and go to life group and learn the Bible, go to a Bible Institute class and learn the Bible, read our Bible and study it during the week, the reason why we do that is for our own internal benefit. There's this inner heart change. As we study and as we grow in our relationship with Christ and as we grow in our knowledge of the Bible, then we're allowing God to change our innermost thoughts, our innermost ambitions. We let God change our priorities. We let God change our attitudes. And as you grow in Christ and as you grow in your knowledge of the Bible, you begin to experience this internal joy that you never had before. There's this internal peace that anchors your heart. There's this internal contentment that you could never find elsewhere. As you grow in your relationship with God and you grow in your knowledge of the Bible, what happens is it begins to give you victory. You begin to get set free from destructive attitudes, from wrong thought patterns that threaten to destroy your life. And here's what happens. I'm going to bring a verse up. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is. This is what God begins to do in your life internally as you grow in the Word of God. This is why we go to church and why we do all these things. It's so that we can grow and change. And as we grow, we begin to understand what true love really is. We begin to have a true joy in our heart. Just a joy, just an inner joy. We've got this peace that anchors our heart even through problems and trials, this inner peace. We begin to be more long-suffering with people. We're more of a gentle person. We exercise goodness to people. We grow in our faith, and our faith just becomes stronger in God and His Word. We begin to have a meekness as opposed to an abrasiveness. We become meek. We have this temperance in our life where we're able to control fleshly appetites and carnal desires in our life. And there's this temperance, this control in our life now that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that begins to be a reality in our life. As we grow and we change in our spiritual character, then what happens is as that begins to take root in your heart, as you study the Bible and as you grow in your relationship with Christ, then what happens is that automatically enhances every other area of your life. It enhances your marriage and your relationship with your family, your friendships, your church life, your job. And it begins to change our whole perspective on those things. We begin to look at our marriage differently. We begin to look at our children differently. We begin to look at our church life differently. As we grow and these things get rooted in our heart and we have that inner growth and that inner change, we begin to look at our friendships from a different perspective, the problems that we go through. We begin to have a different perspective on those problems. And so one of the reasons why we grow in our relationship with the Lord, and the reason why we need to take our growth so seriously and learn that book, learn God's Word, is so that we can have that inner growth, that personal change. But that is not the only reason why we do what we do. The second reason is this. Number two, if you turn your handout over, is this. It says, you also grow in your knowledge of Christ so that you can share Christ with others. You see, your spiritual growth is not just for you. Listen, it's not just for your internal benefit. Your spiritual growth is important for others. God wants you to be a witness for Him. Right before Jesus Christ left the earth, the last thing, the very last words that Christ ever told the disciples is He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come, the Holy Spirit's going to fill you, He's going to endue you with power, and you are going to be witnesses unto Me. God wants us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We're to be a light. Look in your handout, Philippians 2:15. Look in your handout there, Philippians 2:15. Paul writes to the church, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Look how we're supposed to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And then notice We live in this crooked and perverse nation. But then it says, among whom you believers, you those of you who know Christ, you shine as, underline that word, and everybody say it together, what? Lights in the world. So God's plan is that we grow in Christ. Why? Not only for my internal benefit, so I grow and change. God wants me to grow in Christ and in my knowledge of the Word of God so I can share my faith in Christ with other people. Brother Shannon Dan is teaching a Bible Institute class. You know, if you can work it out in your schedule, you ought to just get there for it. What is it, 6 weeks? 7 weeks? And you meet, when is it? Tuesdays, 6 o'clock, right here. Starts up in about a week, doesn't it? This week? This Tuesday? Ooh, okay. But you ought to work that out because he's teaching a class called Sharing and Defending Your Faith. Now, why though? Why do I want to take a class? You can audit it. You don't have to take the test. You know, you can audit the class. But you need the information. You say, why? Why would I want to take a class? Why do I go to church? Why do I read my Bible? Why do I pray? Why do I go to a life group? Why do I do these things? Well, it's not just for you. You do that for others. You grow so that you can have an impact on others. Did you know that our joy in heaven will be directly correlated to the lives we've impacted on earth? Did you know that? Your joy in heaven will be directly connected to the lives you've impacted for Christ on earth. We got to get serious about our spiritual growth because other lives are at stake. There are people that you see every day. There are people you see every day of your life almost that I'll never meet. I'll never meet them once. There are people that will live their whole life and die, and I will never meet them once. And you rub shoulders with them almost every day of your life. You see them almost every day of your life. I can't be a light to them. God wants you to be a light to them. You're to be the light. You are their lifeline to light, to Jesus, to heaven. You're their lifeline. The reason why you grow in your faith and the reason why you grow in your knowledge of the Bible and the reason why we go to church and the reason why we're doing all this stuff is, yes, so that we can grow and change internally, but so that we can also share Christ with others. You see, the Apostle Paul, he didn't hesitate to share his knowledge of Christ with other people. Look at verse 20. He says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." You know when he said, "I've kept back nothing that was profitable"? He's talking about spiritual truth. And he says, "I didn't keep back anything from you." You know that phrase, "kept back," is a medical term? When he said, "I kept back nothing from you," that's a medical term. And in the Greek, that medical term was used for withholding food from patients. Paul said, "I did not do that to you spiritually. I shared all of God's word with you. I did not keep back. I did not withhold food from you." Look at verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you," notice that word, "all the counsel of God." Paul said, "I didn't keep back anything from you. I shared all of God's truth with you." He said, "Man, I gave you a full buffet of spiritual food for you to be able to feed on." Some of you, I have not got your attention until I said the word buffet. I saw people wake up when I said buffet.
Did I hear buffet?
That word was there designed to wake people up. You ever go to a buffet and they advertise they got steak and you get in there and there's no steak and they say, "Oh, that's later today." You know, oh, the fish, that's later on, that's tomorrow, you know. And they got these big advertisements, you know. And Paul said, "I didn't do that." He said, "Man, I laid out a full buffet. I didn't hold anything back." He said, I didn't withhold anything profitable to you. I shared my knowledge of Christ with you. Hey, even food that may have been difficult to digest or that did not taste that great, Paul gave them the Brussels sprouts of God's word. I apologize to those of you who love Brussels sprouts. My wife will eat pretty much anything, but she doesn't even like Brussels sprouts. He gave them the Brussels sprouts of the Bible. Now, you know, I'm not against Brussels sprouts. I just don't like them. They're a little bitter. Oh, boy. I'm going to have 10 people tell me how to cook Brussels sprouts after church. That's what happens when you say these things. Paul said, man, I didn't hold back anything. I gave you a full buffet. I gave you everything. If it wasn't palatable, that's okay. I still gave it to you. You needed it. It was truth. But now here's the key principle. Here's what I want you to get. In your handout, it says, not only did Paul teach the Bible to others, he also lived it daily. I want you to go back with me to Acts 20, verse 20. Okay, look down at verse 20, please. And I want you to get your pen or pencil and underline a couple words here. Verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have, and then what's that next word? Showed. I've showed you and have, underline that one, what's that one? I taught you. I showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Notice he says, I showed you and I have taught you. In other words, Paul's walk matched his talk. He was showing what he was knowing. That was my point, wasn't it? He was showing what he was knowing. That provides maximum impact. Now, God wants us to speak out for our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. He wants you to speak out at work, at high school, at college, on the ball team. He wants you to speak out. There's no doubt about it. He wants us to speak out for our Savior. But in your handout it says, God also desires that we live out what we say we believe. That provides maximum impact. There's a great verse. Get your pen ready and look in your handout. Look at Philippians 4:9 in your handout. Paul writes and he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and, what's that next phrase? Underline that, seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that a great verse? He said, you heard me say it. You've heard me teach it. You've heard me. I've been like a broken record. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And he said, you've learned it. You've received it. You've heard it. I've taught it to you a million different ways. But he said, you've also seen it in me. And he said, you've seen it in me. His walk matched his talk. Well, that's vital. We're talking about having maximum impact because you don't get to live your life over. And you have to live out what you say you believe. If a baseball coach is coaching a little league team and he teaches them, look, anytime you get a fly ball, I want you to always use two hands. That way the ball won't pop out, always two hands. And he drives that in and he tells them over and over and over again, fly ball, use two hands. And then the little league team goes out and watches their coach play a men's softball game. And as they're watching their coach play the outfield, they notice that whenever he gets a fly ball, he goes, or he really hot dogs it and he, whoop. Yeah, that's what happens when you do that. You know, and they see him in the outfield and one gets hit to him and he's basket catching it, you know, hot dogging it. Let me ask you a question. What has more impact, what the coach says or what he does? What he does. The kids are watching him thinking, ooh, I want to be like coach. I want to be cool like him. What he does has a lot more impact than what he says. A dad is coaching his kid, basically, about God. And a dad says to his son, "Son, God needs to come first in your life. God needs to come before anything or anybody else. In our home, God is number one." And then that son sees his dad consistently put hobbies, recreational activities, other interests ahead of God. His teaching loses impact. Because what speaks louder? What he says or what he does? What he does. On the flip side of that, give you an illustration, a positive illustration. A dad says, "I've got a chance at a promotion at work," and he prays about it and he seeks the Lord and he reads the Bible and he's just, you know, really wanting to do the right thing. And he ends up sitting his family down and he says, "You know what?" He said, "I've decided if I take that promotion, we're going to have to move out of the area. We're going to have to move out of town. And you know what? I just, after much prayer, I don't think that that's going to be in the best spiritual interest of our family. And so I'm turning down that promotion so that we can stay here and stay plugged in and we can continue to grow spiritually." Now, that will have an indelible impact on those kids. And they will never forget that the rest of their life. Say mama is coaching her daughter. That's what parenting is, it's coaching. And mama tells her daughter, she says, "Honey, I overheard you on the phone and you were talking bad about some of the other girls in the youth group with your friend and you shouldn't do that. That's gossip, that's hearsay, you're talking behind their back and that's wrong." Later on that week, mama doesn't know it, but daughter's listening as mama is raking someone at the church over the coals with one of her friends. Now, what has more impact, what she says or what she does? What she does. But let's take the other side of the coin. Let's say later on that week, after she's told her daughter she shouldn't gossip, her daughter overhears her talking to somebody on the phone, and she hears her mama saying, "No, I am not going to go there with you. I don't want to discuss it. I do not want to talk about it. That's gossip. That's hearsay. And I'm sorry, I am not, I'm going to get out of this conversation because this isn't right. That person is not here to defend themselves." And daughter hears mama saying that and taking a stand for what's right. You think that has an impact on daughter? Big time. What an impact. Parents, listen. You are to be the primary spiritual influence in your child's life. Do not think, "I bring them to church, they'll be okay." Okay, we've got them an hour a week. Maybe. Maybe two. If they come to Awana clubs. And you think, "Well, I take them to church, I take them to Awana, and they're okay." There is, listen, there is no greater impact spiritually on your children than you. And I want you to hear me now. There is nothing more powerful than when mom or dad or both sit down with their kids and read the Bible and talk to their children about God. That has an unbelievable impact on their lives. I don't care if dad, if he does nothing more than at night after supper, takes the devotional book we've provided for families here, goes to the day, opens up the Bible to that verse, reads that verse, and if all he does is read the verse, close it and say, "I believe that. That's God's word." If that's all he does, that has more impact than anything they'll get up at church. I promise you. Do you want to know why that's so impacting? Because you as a parent have the opportunity to show your kids what you are teaching them on a daily basis in a variety of different real life situations and settings. You see, your kids see you when you're in the car and you turn the radio on. Your kids are with you and they see you when you're watching TV. They hear you when you're on the phone. They're around you when you're doing chores at the house. They're with you when you're just relaxing at home, having some kickback time. They are around when you have family relationships and you have those inner family relationships going on in the home. They're there to see how you handle that and what you do. You have a unique opportunity to live out in all those different situations and settings, you have an opportunity to live out what you believe, and there's nothing more impacting than that. You see, I as the pastor, Rob as the youth pastor, the life group teacher, the Sunday school teacher, the children's director, they don't have that opportunity like you do. They're not with me during when I'm relaxing at home. The kids just hear me get up here and they preach and preach, or they hear Pastor Rob preach on a Wednesday night, but they're not with Rob when he's hanging out at the house, when he's they don't see him when he's dealing with, you know, with his wife, his children. They don't see him when he's just having a time of rest and relaxation. They don't see him when he's doing chores at the house. They don't see him and how he responds at the house to different situations. They're not with Pastor Rob. They're not with me in those situations. They're with you. That's why you have the greatest impact on your children. You are able to teach and then show. As the old saying goes, a picture is worth what? 1,000 words. And it's true. Picture's worth 1,000 words. You can tell them. Paul said, I showed you and taught you. I showed you and taught you. Remember in school, anybody in here remember when you were in school doing show and tell? You bring in an object, you show and you tell all about it. Paul's basically saying, I did show and tell. I showed you and I taught you. It's a powerful thing. When you speak out for Christ at work, and then you live it out in your daily life, it has high impact. The same is true wherever you go, whether it's, you know, in your neighborhood with the neighbors, whether it's on the ball team. It has high impact. Paul said, I showed you and I taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, privately and publicly, you consistently live out what you say you believe. And that's a recipe for maximum impact. One final thought. I want you to look at verse 21, if you would. Acts 20:21. I'm going to end with this. Acts 20:21. Testifying. Notice what his whole testimony revolved around. He said, I'm testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to get that in your handout. Paul's testimony revolved around two things: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that a person cannot be saved from their sins and go to heaven without those two things? Did you know that? You cannot go to heaven without those two things. What is repentance toward God? Repentance just means a change of mind, a change of thinking. In other words, somebody says, well, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm better than he is. Well, I'm going to go to heaven. I've never killed anybody. Well, I'm going to go to heaven. I've done a lot of good works. I've done a lot of good things. I'm going to go to heaven if anybody does because I joined the church or I was baptized. I did this and I did that. There has to come a time in your life when there's some repentance toward God where you realize that I need a change of thinking here. God says I'm a sinner. God says the wages of sin is death. And you know what? I don't deserve heaven. I have not earned heaven. I have offended a holy God. I have broken the word of God. I have broken the law. And I don't deserve heaven. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. You got to have that repentance toward God. Until you humble yourself and you repent and you admit how much you need a Savior, you cannot be saved. Can't be saved without a Savior. But you know what happens when you repent toward God and you change your thinking and you say, you know what? I'm wrong. God's right. God, I've been wrong. You're the one that's right. I'm wrong. I need a Savior. You know what the next thing is? What did he say? Repentance toward God and what? Faith toward who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Look up here. When you repent and you realize, you know what, my thinking has been wrong. I need to get my thinking in line with the Bible. That's repentance toward God. But then that repentance leads you to the answer to your problem, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize that Christ died for your sins. You realize He's the only Savior. you realize and believe what he said, he's the only way to heaven. You realize that your sin's going to take you straight to hell and that Jesus Christ died to save you from that. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross so that you would not have to be separated from God forever. And what you do is you realize he died for my sins. He made a complete and full payment for my sins. He rose from the dead. I believe that what Jesus did is enough. I'm putting my faith, I'm putting my trust in Jesus Christ. So my repentance toward God, my change of thinking about what I previously held in my mind changes, and now I realize the only answer to my sin problem, I need a Savior, and I'm trusting Jesus Christ. I'm putting my faith in Him. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't get saved without those two things. That's just two basic things you got to have. And in your handout it says, this is the first step in having your life make a maximum impact. Hey, last Sunday, I was wrong. I told you we had 9 people get saved last Sunday morning. I was wrong. We had 10. We had another gentleman getting saved that I had forgotten was being dealt with by somebody else. We had 10 people that got saved last Sunday here in church. You know what? Wouldn't it be great if today was the day that you trust Christ? If you're not saved, today is the day. You want your life to have maximum impact? Show what you know. Show what you know about the Lord. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.